run. You got to run, you got to run, run. You got to run, you got to run. You got to run, you got to run, run. You got to run, you got to run. You got to run, you got to run, run. You got to run, you got to run. You got to run, you got to run, run.
That was Buffy St. Marie featuring Tanya Tagaq with You've Got to Run, and before that, Inez Jasper with Electric 49. Coming up next, this is Frank Wallen with Oil for Blood here on KBOO Portland, Rose City Native Radio.
Everything's red, all red, everything. Everything's red, all red, everything. Everything's red, everything's red. Red, 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 dead. Red, dead, red. First off, I send love to Lupe for giving us hope in this Lakota Sioux. All red, everything, red nation rising. Revising our story, they're televising. Child of the plains, I see 2020. Poverty porn, TV pimpers for money. Tell Diane Sawyer, I am a warrior. Give me your camera, send pal to your lawyer. Free all my people, get them out of prison. Take them to Sundance, show them how we're living. Give youth an outlet, disadvantaged prodigies. Feed these Republicans all our commodities. Put them on the reds from the day they're born. They won't survive cause their cancer is airborne. Put them in our schools, put them in our shoes. Take away their money and give them our booze. Red, make everything red. Words of my ancestors up in my head. Food for thought, our kids underfed. Your oil is mud, they want the earth dead. Oil for blood, making you rich. You soil my love. Oil for blood, my mother is clean. That oil is mud. Keystone, everything's red. Pipeline, now everything's dead. Keystone, everything's red. Pipeline, now everything's dead. Everything's red, everything's red. Red, 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 dead. Red, dead. Red.
I can't afford to leave the res. Government has got me trapped. The leadership need a tip, and most my tribal leaders whack. They don't wanna hear that, they just wanna chill. I'm sick, I'll go to IHS and get a pill.
For real,
like a song without a title. Feel forgotten, like slaves picking the cotton. Forever tribal, with no connection to the Bible. Plotting, people rotting, sometimes I'm suicidal. Feeling like no exit, generation ish. Text messaging, sex, what I connect with. Technology, get this world to acknowledge me. My ancestors studied numbers and astrology. Like the philosophy, keep the them haters off of me. Keystone XL, you smell like an atrocity. To my home and my ancestors, I'm loyal. Build that pipeline and I'm burning down your oil. Oil for blood, making you rich, you soil my love. Oil for blood, my mother is clean, that oil is mud. Keystone, everything's red. Pipeline, now everything's dead. Keystone, everything's red. Pipeline, now everything's dead. Everything's red, everything's red. Red, 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 dead. Red, dead, red.
Since I was a puny dookie. Nietzsche, Nietzsche, looky, looky, how I get low when I boogie. Don't mind me some goody goodies. I'm Nate and Bougie. My wifey be the wolf, and I'm the wolf that's from the sea. And she no Pocahontas, more like Buffy St. Marie. Come do your dance with me. I dip, you dip, we dip. No, it ain't blasphemy. I sip, you sip, we sip with Nisi Ka. I stand and rock with all my suit without the wooses. Me and bro came out the womb. Nietzsche 1 and Nietzsche 2. We very indigenous people. We some VIPs. I'm a blood thicker than Unikin Grease. Nietzsche, please sing your song. This my jam. Got my fam all going ham for the land, not the gram. Stay Vinay, it's who I am. We choose copper over gold. Praise the elders. I remember what I'm told. Never turn your back on home. We them bougie natives.
I got turquoise on my red.
We them bougie natives.
Five rings up on my fist.
We them bougie natives.
Big hat with the brim.
We them bougie natives.
Got that custom made bling.
We them bougie natives.
New city, new sweet grass, new sage.
We them bougie natives.
Put my knowledge in my brain.
We them bougie natives.
New city, new sweet grass, new sage.
We them bougie natives.
You can holler at my name.
Hey, aho.
Hey, aho.
Can't you tell them woke? The smoke shop is closed. Can you tell your boys dope? Man, I'm spinning like I made it, and I'm smudging cause I'm broke again. Always running late, I hope the liquor store is open.
I got carvers, weavers, beaters, and designers on my team. I got braiders, hella famous, that I'm signing to my team. In my limousine, don't I look steezy? Next to my digi queen.
Yeah, that's my Moose McGee.
I know ballers, I know chiefs, I know riders from the east. I know educated natives down to picket in the streets. Middle fingers to police, but we come in peace. I know red skin hippies that be giving me the creeps. I know beauty, I know beast, I know savages and freaks. And I know a couple cousins even bougier than me. No, 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 ain't elite, bougie native, yes indeed. Art exhibit to the club, and we roll it 20D. Copper on my neck, gold on my ring. Feather on my hat, skin stitch chin. 100 warriors on my back, daily drumming when I sing. Man, there ain't no way around it. I'm a
bougie native.
I got turquoise on my red.
We them bougie natives.
Five rings up on my fist.
We them bougie natives.
Big hat with the brim.
We them bougie natives.
Got that custom made bling.
We them bougie natives.
New city, new sweet grass, new sage.
We them bougie natives.
My knowledge in my brain.
We them bougie natives.
New city, new sweet grass, new sage.
We them bougie natives.
You can holler at my name.
That was Snotty Nose Rez Kids with Bougie Natives, and before that, Frank Wallen with Oil for Blood. Coming up next, we got Mike Jordan with Dear Native Youth.
I wrote this song for you, cause I wanted you to know that I put my heart into. I get inspired every time that I speak to you. I can acknowledge all the things that you're going through. And trust me when I say that I've been in your shoes. Locked up before for breaking all of the rules. I felt alone, so I posted up in my room. With thoughts of suicide, I don't know what to do. I'm so confused. If I end it all, who's gonna care? Picture my funeral, who's all there? That constant feeling of despair. Zoned out with a blank stare in that moment. I'm trying to decide my fate with war paint written all across my face. The ancestors fought hard and never gave up this easily. So I find something deep inside of me. To my dream or your family, thanks for believing in me. Together with the you, we gon' make some history. Native youth, yes, I'm still talking to you. I promise you, owning the truth, that's all I know how to do. Too many years of constant being lied to. I know how you feel. You probably had it up to here. And take a moment from wiping the stairs. Close your eyes for a second. Imagine you no longer living in fear. Keep your head above the clouds and know it gets better from here. Pretend for 1 second, Pop's putting down a beer as he puts arms around you so you feel how love heals. How love heals, how love heals. It's not your fault that love for your life, it just disappears. It disappears, it disappears. I know the pain suffocates and takes you to a distant place. A youth among all experience the highest rate. We got a promise, we will never let the youth fade away. This is more than Twitter hashtags, dear native youth. Native youth.
Gonna hate this place as I pray in a sacred space. The fate of a race could be changed if we slow down a pace. Creator made me so my life I embrace. I use all my senses, I see fruitless and smell and taste. If time is of the essence, I have no time to waste. Each rhyme covers each moment, soaked in emotion. Flow approaching, so cold it's frozen. Motion was posing, still as a statue, a Kodak moment, a throwback to old things. I open up my third eye, now I know what my soul meant. My goal is to show them the omen, the whole thing. I know it's the right thing. I fight the kings, the light and the kids, so they know what light brings. It ignites what your soul sings. One song vibrating, frequency flowing, flying to the highest mountain. I am the all-knowing. I call to the crow approaching, black charcoal wings. I draw the light in, but what his beak is holding. The sun in the sky, the one love, one light, bright and glowing. Bright and glowing.
gave me a status card. That's vibrational status for your progress. You showed me those bad habits. You gave us our first smoke. Trigger that fire water. Maybe your head was big, but this is a higher power. Resistance 100. Put you on 101. Schooling you with that firepower. My energy's from the sun. Elements tainted. I can feel it in my lungs. I feel my ancestors' support from my loved ones. This is that kid. But it should be where all unite. We were hurting too long to fight the good fight. I bet that's how you want it. You tried to condition my brain. I get that's how you want it. That's how you maintain. Too many parallels between people you colonize. Now that we know our source, we know your lies. Your eyes on the prize. Is this a game for you? The rise of the marginalized won't be tame for you. For too many years, I tainted your dis-ease. Let my brush you down with boughs of cedar trees from down the Sesqua. Oh, past Maddie Lee. We have get sandwiched, so it in solidarity. We're on that Delgamuch, largest land title claiming Canadian history. This is not a game. There are no treaties here. If this isn't stopping you from all of the DTPs, the FBI's dropping you. We better play it safe before they pop at you. They don't talk with you. They just talk at you, brother, so keep it real. Trudell's my Luther, but that's just how I feel. Trudell's my Luther, but that's just how I feel.
We are a part of the natural world. We are power.
Keep it real. Say exactly how you feel. That's how you keep it real. Okay. Say exactly how you feel. That's how you keep it real. Okay. NWK. Heaves in NWK. Okay. Say exactly how you feel. That's how you keep it real.
That's how you keep it real.
Shout out my bounce. Yeah. Whoa, now, quick to body your whole style. Illest on the mic with the sloppiest profile. Nothing quite like it, like copping a dope album. Full of dope beats and all of the dope rappers. Drama, now all of it don't matter. Like coming here and calling it shenanigans. Stuck a flag in the land, body bagging us. Now it's our time, baby, we ain't having it. We got you stomping out rockin' boots. Stand up, they salute when I'm stepping out the booth. Ha! Nothing cute, only shooting that truth. Quick to execute, then lead the scene like poof. I'm in line with a ray of sunshine. FTP, I'm only saying it one time. Get it? Move along with a good vibe. Though I never identify with the good guys. It's all gravy, baby. I'm an 80s baby. And I gotta think created that radio placement. Been going so hard that they say I'm crazy. We on a war path and they say we lazy. Out of you, man.
That was Sacred Space featuring Dreesus and Mob Bounce. That was Mob Bounce with Sacred Space. And before that, Mike Jordan with Dear Native Youth joining us in the studio as always. Nick Yellowhorse, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm waking up.
I definitely feel that these days aren't nice. It's too dark too soon. And I am perpetually waking up at 4 a.m. for some reason. I don't know. I think my body overcompensated with this time shift and was like, nope, you're going to sleep in? No. No, we'll make sure you don't sleep in.
Yep.
Oh, but yeah, it's been a week.
What a year this week has been.
Seriously. Oof. I keep thinking there's so many things because it is November happening for us in our community and in our own lives personally. Yeah. And every week I'm like, when was last week? Was that 2 weeks ago?
It's all kind of speeding by so fast and there's so much going on too that, yeah, it's easy to lose track.
Yeah, there's so many markets, so many events happening in our area right now. And it's putting me really thin right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I apologize to everyone. We're two very tired Indians right now. But we're going to do our best. So, Nick, what do we got for the folks today?
So, I've been wanting to talk about this for a little bit. This was reported on last month, early last month in October, and it was about how a quarter of Navajo women and some infants who were part of a federally funded study on uranium exposure had high levels of the radioactive material in their systems. This comes decades after the mining for the Cold War on the Navajo reservation. And about a quarter. So it's the sample that they had taken of these women who had this study done, like 25% of them had this dangerous material in it. And for those who, I don't know, the closest thing I could think of is it's so prevalent on the Navajo Nation. It's similar to how, you know, those national ads that said, if you or a loved one was ever contacted by something in mesothelioma, yeah, and how it's become a joke. Yeah. And it's the exact same thing for the Navajo Nation, except it's uranium poisoning or uranium mining or anything involving uranium. That's how widespread and well known this is on the res. Talking about how, and I know that the Navajo Nation area for the EPA is considered, like, I don't remember the term, I think it's called a super site, because there's so much activity that needs to be done to clean up that area, and they have to devote a lot of their resources to mitigate or contain any of those spills, the mines, the contamination that happens in that area. From what I read in this little article, it said that among them, 26% had concentrations of uranium that exceeded levels found in the highest 5% of the U.S. population. And newborns with equally high concentrations continue to be exposed to uranium during their first year. So we, a minority, and that minority has the small chance to run into this dangerous metal, and coming in at the top 5% of the U.S. population across the board, mainly affecting, or from what this article was inferring was, or I'm sorry, implying was that it's affecting the women and children a lot, and it's just being passed down that way. And what happened to all the cleanup and the containment that's supposed to have happened since the end of the Cold War and all of this had been going on? It's going to be interesting what happens, what either IHS or BIA may try to do. I haven't heard anything, even though I have my ear to the ground with them. And I don't know. I think it's stunning to see how high and how prevalent this is within my own nation. I don't know if it's like, because I can only talk from my own perspective of how it's affected the other tribes in the surrounding area, but I believe us being one of the larger tribes, it's a lot easier to get these numbers and data because there's just so many of us in that area. And it's all because the U.S. wanted to kill a bunch of people that were considered not nice people, quote unquote. And
it's also out there, like in the Navajo Nation, like a decent amount of people get their water from wells or outside, like, right? And like, it's been an issue as well with uranium leaking into the water sources, right?
Yeah, not just that, but like agricultural pesticides and chemicals that they use, because a lot of that is farming land of some form, whether it be actual plants or livestock.
Mostly sheep. Yeah. Jeez. Like, does it say how many, like, women they tested? Like, the...
I didn't get an actual number from this. It just spoke in percentages.
Yeah, yeah. But even then, like, the Navajo, like you said, the Navajo Nation is huge, but even that small, like, amount, like, however many women they tested, like, even just taking a small portion of the population and testing them, and a fourth show.
Oh, I do have a number. It said that 781 women were screened during an initial phase of the study. So 780-ish, perhaps, plus or minus, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Whatever their deviation of error. It didn't give me a link to the study, unfortunately, but I don't know, like, that entire time to wanting to create these weapons to kill other people not only killed other people, but it greatly affected the native populations. Because I mean, think about the internment camps and everyone in Alaska. They got lumped into it all as well because they were seen as being too close to our enemies.
Yep.
And these native populations were there along with those who were deemed enemies of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in Alaska in the winter without real protection or shelter. Mm-hmm. And they died along with the quote unquote enemies of the state. And not a lot of people talk about that. Not a lot of people talk. I mean, people talk about, like, oh, the testing ravaged the geography of the land. But yeah,
it's
that's the
more
geography.
Than that.
But people who live on that geography of the land were really affected of it as well.
And are still affected by it.
Yes.
It's still a huge issue out there.
It's not something that happened so long ago that we can't really remember it.
And even then, like,
it's
it doesn't matter.
Recent.
It doesn't, because even as, I mean, again, this is something that we talk about throughout the entire show, is that regardless of how long something has happened, people are like, man, that was hundreds of years ago, get over it. Yeah, something so horrible, so prolific, so, like, big happened that hundreds of years later, we are still feeling the effects. And I feel like this is something that is unfortunately going to continue. Like, down the road, they're going to be like, yeah, we're still dealing with elders who have uranium poisoning.
Yeah, it's intergenerational trauma. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of physicians are being educated on how to deal with trauma and care. And that's a huge push that I've seen within the past couple of years.
Yeah,
because
trauma-informed care.
We natives carry a lot of that because we have experienced this and our ancestors experienced this, and it just keeps getting handed down, this perspective, this pain, this turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
And you just expect us to be quiet and complacent and accept that it just happened to your ancestors. So what?
There's so many. That kind of ties into something else I was thinking about talking about. I didn't necessarily want to... I normally don't want to bring attention to these types of people. But, you know, it does kind of tie into it. So, very rarely, but sometimes, we get ignorant people calling in. And we had one of those a week or so ago. And the big question was, is why are these stupid natives eating fry bread? Why are these stupid natives eating the white man's food if it makes them sick and they die? And don't they know better? Like, blah, 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 blah. Nick is, like, having a seizure over here. And at the time, I didn't address it on air. I don't like to bring attention to these ignorant people. It's a waste of my breath, but with this, it does tie into your point, Nick, is that this particular person, who I'm pretty dang sure has no degree in nutrition or American history or anything else, thought he had the answer to our problem and didn't understand why they didn't get it. And it's like, well, one, if white man's food is so bad, why do white men keep eating it, friend? Two, that's part of it as well, is why can't you fix these issues? Oh, because the thing that's causing these issues still exists. These laws, these containments of, you know, we have tribes that have been moved hundreds and thousands of miles away from their original homelands and now are just in Oklahoma or somewhere else. And it's present day. And it's like, well, why can't you get your traditional foods together? Bro, because I'm not on my traditional lands. Like, what are you talking about? Like, there's the colonial effects are still happening. We are still being occupied by settlers, y'all. Like, it's still happening. And that oppression and the systems that keep our people in poverty on the res and off the res are still in effect. And to say that since technology has evolved, since all these things have evolved, like, you should be able to get over it and just collect yourself back up again. Like, how do you talk to somebody who's broken every bone in their body and be like, bro, why can't you run a marathon anymore? Like, what's wrong with you? Like, healing takes place, yes, but it's never going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
After such devastation and destruction, you really expect it to be the same. Like, absolutely not. Get educated. Open a book. Good Lord.
I really want to speak to the tune of, like, food and colonialization.
It's the season for that. So go ahead.
It really is. Like, a lot of people don't really think about what's considered good food and bad food and why things are considered good food and bad food. And bad food is, by default, usually the cheaper food. And when someone decides who decides what good food and what bad food is. And when there's those resurgence of, like, oh, this is a new superfood we discovered that's been something hidden somewhere in the Amazon, or like the indigenous people of blah 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 been eating it for years, and we finally tapped into it and discovered it and now given it to you. And then now that in that crop, that food that was considered not good enough before is now considered good food, and the prices go up. Mm-hmm. And the people who had regular access to that, to growing it, to using it, to everything, now have to pay a premium for something they've been doing all along. And an example specifically that I can think of is taro root and the indigenous people in Hawaii, and how they're trying to get taro root into their ancestral lands to cultivate and create it the way that it should have been done, or not should, but how it always been done, with their own values. And they're fighting for that. And it's just upsetting that long time ago, people who had a lot of money restricted access to food from the general population and said, we eat the good food. When now we look at that food with a modern lens, we see that as bad food. And it's just this cyclical event happening. And it always is these new foods being portrayed as whole, raw, and organic, and things that haven't been touched by man, when these types of practices or food usually generated from an indigenous place. And you are now creating a premium for people who never had a premium on that. And it's just so upsetting. It's just funny because I was reading about that today, and I just wanted to put that out there.
No, absolutely. And another thing too, though, is that with the popularity of these foods, excuse me, with the popularity of these foods, or anything for that matter, right? Also comes the risk of extinction. I mean, look at, like, it's not a food per se, but look at white sage right now, right?
Oh, yep.
White sage is on the verge of extinction because
crystal shops.
Thank you. I couldn't find a nice way to put it. Because people with Grinch fingers for hair decided that sage and smudging was their thing now. And yeah, white sage is severely at risk. Don't buy white sage, everybody. Please don't buy white sage from any shops. I don't care if they say it was ethnically grown. Ethically, English is hard. I'm not English, so I don't speak it good. It doesn't matter if they say this is like, oh, it's okay, it's whatever. Don't buy white sage. Like, this has been a PSA. Don't buy white sage. Leave it be, everybody. I'm not saying make it trendy, but if you gotta burn something, burn cedar, burn rose, burn rosemary. Like, there's so many other amazing herbs out there. And if you look into your own background, you can see what they used to burn. But leave white sage alone. This is coming from somebody whose people don't even burn white sage. And I'm saying, please leave it alone. But looking at that, right, looking at the popularity of things like that, when they become so commercialized, either they are completely taken over, like taro root and other things, like completely snatched from the indigenous population that cared for them for centuries, and then commercialized and warped into this really just Frankenstein version of itself, or they're on the verge of going extinct because the demand is so high, because that's what's trendy now. You're making faces.
You were talking about being commercialized and whatnot, and all I could think of is Urban Outfitters and...
Woo Lord! Urban Outfitters! Oh, here we go!
And the whole Navajo panties ordeal.
Oh, we covered that, like, when it happened, and I was so mad. I was so mad. Lord! I mean, yeah, that's the other thing, too, right? Is we're saying this as people whose entire cultures, entire ways of being have been warped and commercialized. Like, I feel you, Taro Root. Like, I feel you, White Sage, because my identity has become twisted and commercialized and, like, this terrible bastardization of itself for modern consumption.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Urban.
And then that whole lawsuit and whatnot, saying we don't have the right
to your own name.
Yeah, to our own name, because it's become too commonplace and can't be copywritten.
I can't.
And protected. And this happened last year, guys. Folks, well, everyone. It was 17. It was 17, the end of 17.
No, was it longer than that?
No, it wasn't. It was just like the end of... It was longer than
that. We're going to look this up right now. Hold on. It was like 2015 or 16.
No, it just happened. I swear to God. I swear.
Maybe there's another lawsuit. There's so many lawsuits with Urban Outfitters. I can't even begin. Y'all know I don't like Urban Outfitters. we covered a lot of that stuff early on.
Oh, my God.
When was it?
Oh, what?
When was it?
I don't want to talk. Okay. It was brought against them in 2012, but it didn't, like, the litigation and whatnot wasn't until 2016.
Bam! Told you.
Gosh dang it. It felt like it was just last year.
That's because it's still happening. It never ends.
It's just always on the forefront of my mind. It's
no, that's fair.
Sour taste in my mouth. Like, ugh, there's fair. More reasons not to shop at Urban Outfitters so than just that.
Just don't do it. But yeah, I want to tie all that into the reason for the season. As everybody knows, it's, oh, hey, yeah, Natives Exist Month. And with that comes the Feast of Lies. And with the Feast of Lies comes, well, we want to do it more traditional. We want to have native foods and this and that. And in a way, it's an interesting way to kind of turn it on, like, not necessarily turning it on its head, but it's an interesting way to do it, is like to have more traditional foods. A lot of families I know are trying to do more traditional foods instead of just the standard turkey, cranberries, and blah, 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 blah. And not that turkey and cranberries are terrible. I love both of those things. However, Lord, this month in general, I think, is just one of the biggest ones when we talk about commodifying and, like, bastardizing food and culture and identity. Thanksgiving is a huge one. Like, oh, Indians eat maize. They taught us to grow corn. So we'll have corn and we'll have, like, berries and stuff. That's what they did, right? Like, no one knows. And it's just interesting to see. It's interesting to hear people try and get back to roots that were never there. So, like, oh, we want to be more mindful and have, like, a feast that's, like, closer to what they would have had, or, like, locally sourced whatever X, Y, and Z. And it's like, yeah, but it don't matter if you have wild rice or not. Like, it never happened. The whole feast never happened. They decapitated a chief and put his head on a spike so his son could see it when he would come in to negotiate. That's Thanksgiving. One of the things I really recommend, I've always recommended it when people come and ask the usual question once a year, how do I be educated on the plight of Native Americans in this year of our Lord, whatever, in November, and how do I learn more about Thanksgiving? There's an amazing, amazing, I think it's PBS that did it, series called We Shall Remain. And I highly, 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 highly recommend you watch it. Whoever I'm usually having dinner with, I make them watch it. But it's fantastic. It's online, and it covers everything from first contact through when the first Thanksgiving would have happened, and everything in regards to what actually happened, which was grave robbing, backstabbing, and colonialism. Nick, any final thoughts?
I think we said a lot, and I think really I'm very happy and pleased with where we're leaving it.
Good. Good. With that, Nick, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to go to Native Poetry Corner. Yeah, we're going to do Native Poetry Corner. So with that, this is Nolan Esquites with Corn Pollen or Yellow Cake here on Rose City Native Radio.
Since time immemorial, the Navajo people have blessed their path with the holy substance, corn pollen. It is finely ground and carried in medicine pouches to be sprinkled as prayer offerings. During World War II, the Navajo Nation was found to have the largest concentration of uranium deposits in the U.S. Navajo men were employed to extract and refine uranium for nuclear weapons production. The residual product of this process is known as yellow cake, a fine yellow dust that is highly radioactive. Placed side by side, corn pollen and yellow cake look almost identical. There is a story that says, in the beginning, the people were given a choice about which to carry through life. Corn pollen, with the power to bless, or yellow cake, with the power to poison. The people chose corn pollen. The people chose beauty. The people chose life. There is another story. One of a boy who dreamed of his father. The father carves through mountainsides, excavating uranium. Radioactivity permeates his body. His medicine bag hangs at his side, empty. He has betrayed the choice of the ancient ones. At home, mother works on a traditional rug, sister plays outside, and the boy, meticulously stitches his own medicine pouch. Father returns from the mines tainted, with lips poisoned by sheets of radiation breathed over them. He kisses mother. She inhales the yellow cake rising from his clothing. She will develop lung cancer with contaminated arms. He embraces sister. She swings from father's venomous hands before sitting to dinner. Her kidneys will fail. Father mines every day for 4 years, unaware of the parasitic poison housed in his organs. He will die of stomach cancer, and the government will discount his death and thousands more as incidental. In his dreams, the boy sees the truth. Rain pours into dynamite-blasted fissures in the land, mixing with yellow cake to become lethal community reservoirs. Livestock from nearby farms bathe in that same water, and families fill their buckets to sustain themselves. The contagion spreads. Elders stagger from behind hills, gasp for air through thick industrial smoke, clutch at their skin as it tears, revealing dying vital organs, shriek at father to remember the original choice. Mangled fetal fingers reach from beneath the soil, drumming the song of the seventh generation, crying for a return to the way of balance. Father's pick connects with the rock again and again and again as yellow cake cascades down the mountainside. The boy offers trembling handfuls of sacred yellow corn pollen to the boiling air. He whispers his prayers to the sky, pleading for a cleansing rain, one that will reveal the footsteps of ancestors who walked in beauty.
That was Nolan Escheats with his poem, Corn Pollen or Yellow Cake. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. We couldn't do this show without you, so thank you so much for listening. You can find us on Facebook at Rose City Native Radio. For music, events, more, please email us at pdxnativeradio@gmail.com. As always, we will see you next week, Indian Country. Stay cool.